that intro.
Yeah, I'm like, that was weird.
Do you remember?
Lucas really put us up to the next level.
So when we tried
best.
When we first started, we said, I would love to make a podcast, but as long as it doesn't have one of those stupid intros.
Yeah. Now, yeah, I need to just record something. I got this old,
have
like,
something custom.
I got this old kid, like, keyboard that I bought for $1 at a yard sale.
Oh, really?
And it can report, like, it records beats and all that. I'm going to make some really cheesy song, kind of like Steve Zissou kind of music. And
I'm just going to nod and tell you who Steve Zissou is.
Yeah, you should know, actually. Oh. It's like one of my favorite movies, Life Aquatic.
Wait, by Wes Anderson.
Yeah. It's a good
love that movie.
Because I was a big Jacques Cousteau fan. You know me, Underwater?
Yeah. You're into that.
So when they came out with that movie, I was blown away.
Wait.
And we have Jacob here.
And I thought that.
Yeah. So we have Jacob here, Unicorn Expert. We have Bridget here, as always.
And hundreds of mimes.
Yeah, and hundreds of mimes, as per usual.
You can't hear them, but they're here.
Right there.
I think
they're plotting.
What maybe we should talk about here is, they're just, because they can't.
They're good
mimes. They can't touch their
pros
together.
Only the best.
So we have a team now. I don't know if we really dove into this before.
Yeah.
We have Lucas as our director. Lucas, you've said hi.
Hello.
And then we have Jacob now as our
unicorn expert.
Hello, people of the world.
There we go. And we have a lot of cameras.
Yeah. Like, all over the place.
Which is super exciting. Five. So we have this tiny little studio, which Bridget and I built in 3 hours at one point.
Yeah.
And it was really fun. We have this table here that everybody can now see. Yep. We have our bourbon. We have the cringe that Sean has talked about on several episodes, which now, I mean, you just can't.
I can't take it. Well, I'm going to take it off and sell it on our website when we have merch.
That's actually a great idea.
I mean, at this point, you can't get rid of it.
That's a great idea.
It's a staple.
And we have a lot of lights. It's very exciting. It's very exciting. We're very happy to have this team.
TikTok. We're all grown up.
Yep. It is.
It's weird.
It's really weird. Awesome. It feels like so different from when we recorded in your car.
Yeah. With our rain jackets on.
Yeah, we had so much.
Yeah,
it was
bad.
Terrible the whole time.
That studio did not last very long.
But this is a good one, and we plan to have others as this progresses. But
I wanted to rehash a bit on our take on the British Empire.
Oh, I think that's fair.
I listen to, I hear people, and they're like, I listened to your podcast, you know, the one that you just did.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, in 2018, we talked, like, one of our first podcasts were about the British Empire.
Yep.
And why we riff on them so much. So if people haven't listened back then, I think we can give them
a good thing to retouch.
A little like TikTok version of that or whatever. Yep. So when we first started meeting, we talked about how our education system in America is not really broken. It's really unbreakable. It was designed during the British Empire.
Yes.
As a way to control an empire. So what you had to do to control an empire is had to have a computer, but based on DNA, like actual humans were your computer back then.
Exactly.
Right? Because there's no computers.
Yep.
So you had to have people with good handwriting, who could spell things right, who could do math in their heads, who could do really well under stressful situations. Like those were all the things that they were looking for in a model citizen. And people with dyslexia at the time did not fit in that, so they were probably the tradesmen and things
like
that.
Right.
And that's still true today. Like a lot of the times the famous, if they're not American, if they're coming from the British Empire, a lot of them, like our chefs, like Jamie Oliver, right, a chef, or entrepreneurs, and they say that is, and you probably know this from your business classes, like, I don't know if they talk about that, but like, an inordinate number of entrepreneurs are dyslexic.
Yeah, right? Yep.
And so that's what we talk about with the British Empire. Like, for so long, the system was designed to weed us out, to keep us out of the system.
And they didn't want us a part of any...
fit the computer.
Yeah.
But now...
It was an early algorithm.
Right,
really?
And it worked for them.
It did.
It worked for them for
a
while.
Did a really good job until...
Got a little greedy there.
Yeah, it did.
They
went a little far.
Yeah, and so that's why we're really excited to see these reports coming out of England, and they're actually like saying, whoa, wait a second. We need to teach people how to find dyslexic people and not weed them out so that they can make a difference and they can do creative things. And one of those is this report that I have. Do you have the intro page?
So that's what. That's what.
Do you have that? Yeah.
I think that's what.
It's called The Value of Dyslexia, Dyslexic Capability, and Organizations of the Future.
And this is all from Made by Dyslexia, which we have talked about before.
Right.
That's the other. This is the executive summary.
Right.
And that is the other page.
Yeah. Right. And one thing that stood out to me in the executive summary is they say at least 1 in 10 people.
Which we had not seen that before. 1 in 10 people have dyslexia.
Yeah, I've heard like 2 in 5 or something. So mm-hmm. it's double. So I think that really points to the fact that it's still something we're trying to figure out how to diagnose. We've talked about that before.
And I think it's interesting because while these reports that we've continued to read, and they're mostly coming from Made by Dyslexia, are very in-depth, it's still pretty 30,000 foot, yeah. right? Yeah. It's still like, this is kind of what we think about dyslexia. This is, you know, so like in particular, this one talks about dyslexia as an opportunity. So they're talking about how, and we've talked about this on the podcast before, but they never went into depth in this much of depth. But what they're saying is some of the things that we used to look for, like the British Empire style education that they used to look for, they're not really looking for as much. They're really more interested in like management, personnel, active learning, you know, technological design and programming, things like that, that take that being on the outside mindset, right?
Right.
It moves away. We always talk about the linear. Right, linear versus nonlinear.
Yeah, they had. I was actually corrected by one of my students, which was good because I couldn't remember the name. But the phrase that they're using in England is that neurotypical versus neurodivergent.
Oh, I didn't hear the neurotypical. Okay,
yeah,
neurotypical.
Yeah, so I was like, I couldn't remember the word, and one of my dyslexic students actually was like, "You mean neurotypical and neurodivergent?" I was like, "Yes."
Yeah, I love that.
Wow.
See, I went through an interview process recently in corporate America, whereas as I went for my promotion,
and you got it,
and I got it.
Yay.
I did get it, so that's exciting.
Cool. Yep. Cool.
And one of the things I did was I went through HR, and they were there to identify diversity. And I said, while I don't have some maybe traditional types of diversity, I am very neurodiverse. And I dove into that pretty extensively in this series of 3 interviews. And it was really exciting because they're like, oh, that's awesome. Like we never, I think that was the first
off
time.
Radar kind of thing.
Yeah, that's the first time they had ever experienced
give them this
someone.
Report.
Yeah, it was the
well,
first
not
time.
Not this one, I wrote all over it. But yeah.
It was the first time they'd experienced, I mean, 1 in 10, right? It was the
right.
first time they experienced someone talking about that, especially in my industry, which I've talked about before.
Yeah.
And it was really exciting because they jumped on it. They were like, oh, great. Like, that's a great piece of diversity. We'd love to have that on an executive level team.
Yeah, and this whole report is designed for CEOs who are trying to diversify. It says for CEOs and business leaders.
Yep.
And they're trying to say, hey, these are things to look for when you do hires.
And it really starts with, they do their classic thing. So the third piece is, it's designed into 6 parts. And the third part really dives into, after the intro, what is dyslexia? So they say 1 in 10 people have dyslexia, and then they highlight their thinking skills, and they highlight their general skills.
It's very similar to that...
The
definition we read a couple of podcasts ago.
So what's exciting is they seem to be really honing in on what they think that it's covering, while still, like I said, saying from 30,000 feet. They talk about dyslexics are really good at communicating, imagining, and visualizing on their thinking, right?
Yeah.
So they can, I liked this a lot on the visualizing, interacting with space, sense, physical ideas, and new concepts.
Yep.
Because I'm a huge space person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I'm going to remember something, I remember it because of where I was. I'm like, I was sitting in that desk. I went back to my high school and been like, I was sitting in that desk
yeah.
and I took that test.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
And that's how I remember. I don't know if that's something
that
you experience.
Like, I know how to get my kids to school downtown, but I don't know the roads.
Mm.
The name of the roads, but I know when to turn.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly when to turn.
Bridget's laughing.
And now
I
know
do the same thing.
Because I have to tell people,
yep.
like my wife, she wants to drive, and I'm like, don't go that way.
Yep.
Take 2nd Street all the way downtown. If you go 35 miles an hour, you get all green lights. It's a beautiful drive right through Old Bay. And then come back on 5th Street.
I was when the previous company I worked for, I was at an executive dinner, and I was sitting with a lot of people that I wouldn't normally be sitting with, and it was very exciting. And they asked me what county I lived in.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, and I just
silenced.
Blanked. Yeah, I just blanked because I don't think of things that way.
Right.
I was like, oh, I live in Louisville. And they're like, what county? It's Jefferson County. But
right.
I was like, that doesn't really matter to
okay.
me. Like, it's not important.
And they don't know what county Louisville's in. There's
right.
something wrong with them, too.
That's what I put it back on them.
And
I was like, where do you think it is?
Yeah.
Right? That's
I mean, they've actually merged. Like,
it's yeah, but it, but the idea is, I was judged heavily for not understanding that when really that doesn't
right
doesn't really matter.
Right.
And you know, to understand in the moment,
everyone but, should know what county they're from.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody should know how to spell. Blah blah blah. You know, it's the same thing.
Yep.
And like I said, my my work experience has been very open to that, which is exciting.
Yeah.
It's not how it is all the time.
What this was fascinating here. They were like, they were looking at a typical dyslexic capability, which I thought was really fascinating. So like, dyslexia is still so new on the horizon.
Yep.
There's like typical dyslexic capability, and is there atypical dyslexic capability? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
then is it, if it's atypical, then where do they frame it as dyslexic? I'm a huge
that was in
framer
one
guy.
Of these, and I think this is where they were saying maybe not everyone who's dyslexic has all these characteristics.
Right.
So, like, you have exceptional, very strong, and strong. So maybe not all dyslexic people have emotional intelligence. You know what I mean?
That's...
Which was weird, because I'm like, I think obviously
like that's
we all would.
Pretty key.
Or critical thinking and analysts. I can't even read.
Analysts. Since you've started back up teaching, are you seeing dyslexic people coming up to you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, they're like, oh, I'm dyslexic. I was like, cool, man.
You're like, cool, you're cool. That's great to know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and then, yeah, they know more about dyslexia than I did.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
did. And I know more because I'm reading.
Yeah, because we're reading reports every single week about it.
But yeah, I thought this was pretty cool. Like, they have top dyslexic strengths, which is two words I never thought I'd hear together, dyslexic strengths. Like,
right.
You know, like, I never heard that. It was
I like this a lot, too, is... They're changing the minimum requirements for job performance, right? Whereas it was like, you got to spell, you got to be able to properly use Microsoft Word, things like that. This report is like, no, that's not really where your minimum thinking
right.
skills
Right, so they took
to
a
be.
List of like,
yeah.
they made like a fake job, like job A, and it has like 12 competencies. And then they rate which ones dyslexic people would be stronger at, which ones they would be weaker at. And so like there's reading, which I'm a very slow reader, time management, which I'm like, really bad at that.
But see, I think I'm very good at time management.
I wasn't before computers.
But
I was always really early or late.
Yeah, that's...
I don't know what operations analysis means.
Hold on, back up. Because I really like that comment on very early or late. Because I definitely live in that world. Like, I would say I'm good at time management. It's like, but I'm going to show up a maximum of 30 minutes early.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to make a mistake.
Right.
Right. Because I don't want to be, I would rather be an hour early than 5 minutes
right.
late.
And that's been really hard for me.
And that's interesting that you said that too, because that's it.
Just gotta let it go. Okay.
Yep.
And then they have like ones that I thought would be everyone, like originality. I thought every dyslexic person would have it. But that's like a lighter gray, which means it's not as big as programming, which was a dark gray. I'm like, what do you mean by programming? I have no idea.
Do they mean programming non-digital?
Maybe it's British. You know,
maybe it's like, I can throw a wonderful ball.
I have no idea. I didn't think about
that. Yeah.
And complex problem solving, obviously. Active learning was a like gray one, which I thought was weird, not dark gray. So anyway, there's really interesting stuff.
It's cool, and maybe we can post some of this on social media. I think it would be cool to reference this.
I think that'd be a great idea.
Yeah, on the web. Right, the inner, I think there's a place with stuff.
The other thing we didn't talk about is the other skills that were general skills. So you did the thinking skills. There were general skills that were listed out: exploring, connecting, and reasoning.
Yeah.
So I was like, obviously.
Yeah.
Like,
those should be dark gray.
Yeah.
All day long.
Yeah.
And I think it'd be cool in the future, especially now that you're back in, teaching. Summer's over. That maybe we gauge some of your students that are dealing with that privately, right? Or whatever capacity they're interested in, and say, what do you think about this kind of stuff? And we start doing maybe some of our own studying and scales on this, because I don't know, I haven't been an undergraduate in a long time, or I'd really like to see even more formative education time, what dyslexic people are dealing with
as
in like middle school, high school. And it looks like we're...
It depends on the school, I guess.
And it looks like we're rolling down on this episode. But,
Yep.
But
Bridget's our timekeeper.
Yeah. But we're gonna keep on going. We're doing another episode.
Yes. Yep.
Another one right after this one.
Perfect.
Right,
well, cool. We're going to continue on this study. You'll see that in the next episode. And we're going to continue more on this study and maybe a couple other topics. But thanks for joining us, as always. Cool.
Did you know that in the tech world, the term unicorn stands for a brand new company that already has made $1 billion?